1. I'm going to go ahead and let you know from the onset today that we're going to go through half of this message this morning. So I'll have 2 points this morning, and then we're going to finish it off next Sunday morning on the 10th of May during the morning service as well. So we'll have 2 points this morning and two next Sunday. I know I don't typically give how many points we're going to have. That way we don't have a tendency to count down, if you will, but I trust that you guys aren't of that stripe anyway. So Proverbs in chapter 30, and we're going to be looking at verses 29 and through 31. 29 through 31. The Bible says, and there be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound and a he-goat and a king against whom there is no rising up. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity and time to be together this morning. We pray that you take the words, dear Lord, that you take this message, Lord, write it upon the table of the hearts of the hearers this morning. Lord, allow it to help us in the way that we need help today, wherever we may be, whatever it may be. I ask of you, Lord, to reach deep down inside of our soul, dear God, and give us the needed help that we need this morning, Father. So we love you, we thank you, and ask for your mighty, wonderful blessings upon the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. So I want to speak to you this morning on this particular subject of how to go well. On how to go well. Beloved, there are some attributes from the animal kingdom which are used of God. They're used of God as an example. They're used of God several times metaphorically. They're used of God literally and figuratively in the Word of God. They're used physically in the Word of God many times that we find within the teaching of mankind and the teaching of us of how that we ought to live. But if we would take on board some of these attributes, some of these characteristics, let me call them what they are. When we apply them into our life, it will only bring benefit and blessing in one way or another. Now today, as I've mentioned, we're going to look at two of these subjects, and next week we'll look at two more subjects, but next week we're going to tie them all together when they are working in unity in a Christian's life. So we've seen throughout Scripture that when it comes to the ant, if you will, we won't be speaking of the ant today, but we learn a great example from the ant according to their work ethic. They have a work ethic like none other. They are diligent in what they do. They're mighty in how they orchestrate, even though they're a small little insect, their work ethic is above and beyond anyone else's. We find that the wisdom of the eagle is applied in our life, and that massive strength that an eagle has is something just wonderful to look upon. And the list, again, could go on and on. But since we have the same Creator, these innate abilities within their world have to be and can be taught in ours. I mean, beloved, this is one of the great differences between man and beast. Animals possess instincts. They live and they work instinctively, if you will. We have to learn and apply them into our lives. Humans have a conscience. Animals do not. Animals have instincts. We have a conscience. So in order for us as Christians, in order for us as Bible believers, in order for us today to keep moving, to go forward, to go well, if you will, we must develop some of these qualities, these characteristics in our lives. So in order for us to go well, this is what Paul said. Paul said about going forward. He said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." When you look at the most successful missionary in all of the Scriptures, when you look at a man who went from killing Christians, he went from killing those that named the name of Christ and hauling them off and arresting them, and yet on his conversion, guys, he went from pounding those that were Christians to preaching that of Christianity and spread throughout the entire world. But he was able to do that by what he said, this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind. My friend, you cannot go forward. You cannot keep moving. Much less can you go well in your Christian life if you're going to hold to what used to be or what could have been or what would have been or what should have been. You have got to press forward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And in order to do that, you've got to take on some qualities and characteristics that God has given us in order to go well in your life. So, beloved, in the world today where lies and hypocrisy are absolutely overlooked and even encouraged among the liberal crowd, we are attacked on all sides as Bible believers. In a world that we live in today, we have to have a desire and a determination, point number one, to stand. To stand. We look here in verse 30 at this lion. The Bible tells us about strength, the strength of the lion. Notice with me, if you will, in verse 30, it says, "And a lion which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any." The strength of the lion, beloved, is made up of boldness. Now, Brother Ellis, Pastor Ellis used to always teach us that if you don't stand for something, that you will fall for anything. So many souls today are not only falling away from the truth, but they're falling prey into the lies of this world. The greatest trick that the devil has ever played on mankind was to convince them that he did not exist. If there is no devil, there is no God. If there is no wicked, there is no righteous. Now, I'm going to give you some verses today. They won't be on your screen. They're afterthoughts. They're building upon this sermon. I want you to listen to them. I won't ask you to turn to them, but I ask you to listen intently today. Solomon said in Proverbs 28, verse 1, he said, "The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." If you're going to have the ability to stand today within that strength of a lion, you're going to have boldness to stand upon the truth. Beloved, it takes a backbone, and this is for sure. The first sin upon this earth was because someone refused to stand up for truth. The simple truth of the Word of God. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Now, we have gone back and forth. We've heard messages and sermons after sermons after sermons in Genesis chapter 3. And all of them, I'm sure, have been phenomenal and accurate and correct. But let's just get down to where the rubber meets the road. Let's get to the simplest form of what happened that day in the garden. "Yea, hath God said," the serpent said. "Yea, hath God said." Yes, the serpent whispered into the ear of Eve, of where Adam was standing next to her as well. He whispered into her ear in the garden, "Yea, hath God said." I mean, "Yea, hath God said that thou mayest freely eat of every tree that is in the garden?" Well, the Lord did say that. But again, I've said this for time and time, I've said this for years. Where God puts a comma, the Satan puts a period or a full stop. Where God puts a full stop, Satan will put a semicolon. That's the way he works. It's not a blatant, outright falsehood, but it's a half-truth. And I've always said this, a half-truth is a whole lie. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning, that what happened was God put a limit on what could be eaten in that garden. But Satan snuck in there. And he caused doubt to occur. That doubt resulted in a little bit of dabbling with the Word of God. We know by the Scriptures, we won't turn there. But Eve said back unto him, "Yes, you know, the Lord has said that we mayest eat of every tree that is in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat, neither shall thou touch it." According to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God never said anything about not touching it. He said, "You can't eat of it." Now, we would say, "Hey, listen, if you're not to eat of it, you probably shouldn't touch it. If you shouldn't eat of it, you probably shouldn't even be around it for all that matter." Amen? However, we're talking about the properly taught and truth of the Word of God. He never said that. So that doubt that Satan caused in the mind of Eve resulted in her dabbling, which resulted in the denial, ultimate denial of the Word of God. Denial of His truth. Denial of the Word of God. Listen, the denial happened as a result of the dabbling, which had a result from the doubt. In the temptation, in this temptation in our world today to skirt around the truth, many will proclaim righteousness without holding to it within their heart and their soul and their mind. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're going to stand for the truth of the Word of God, if you're going to stand for the Holy Written Scriptures, if you're going to stand for what the Bible teaches, if you're going to stand for eternal security, if you're going to stand for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you're going to stand in the liberty of the gospel, if you're going to stand today, it's going to take a backbone. It's going to take boldness. It's going to take that strength that the lion hath, which the Bible says, "and turneth not away for any." I preached a message many years ago, what happens when the preaching stops? What are you going to do? Now here we are in the middle, or here I hope we're on the tail end of this thing, but here we are 6 weeks plus in to the COVID-19 pandemic across the world. Church houses are empty, at least in the United Kingdom today. And I understand in the United States that churches are allowed to start back to services in certain states and certain areas today, but that's not so here. They are empty across this entire nation here. And I wonder today, I wonder what those who used to fill the pews, I wonder what they're doing now. What are you doing now? How is your stance upon the truth? How is your stance upon the Word of God? We live in a world today where Christianity is being attacked from all sides. Christianity has no friend other than itself. And it is built upon the truth of the Word of God, the purity of the Holy Scripture, the preservation of the Bible, the Word of God as we have it before us today. And outside of that, there is no truth to stand on. It's attacked. Are you going to turn away from those that attack it? Or are you going to stand with boldness as the lion? There's an old saying that's attributed to Socrates, yet it's unsupported. But nevertheless, the saying says, when the debate is lost, slander becomes the tool of the losers. Have you ever noticed when men lose their ability to stand upon truth, they revert to either getting loud and attacking? I mean, you mark it down, beloved. Those men that are in pulpits and pews across this world who have these little causes and these little soapboxes who tend to lead the charge of one or maybe two different types of sin, and they're jumping all that, and that's all they preach on, and it's all they tear down. They're hiding something behind the curtain. They're hiding behind the curtain of separation and standards, but there's a deeper issue within. They'll stand firm on Twitter. They'll slice these menacing tweets out, and they'll send these things out into the social media world. But they'll turn to the side when conformity when their own lack of integrity is presented. These are they who fail to stand firm on the Scriptures. They are weak in every aspect of the term, and you know, friend, they simply cannot go well. It is the boldness of the lion that we look at today, this characteristic that the Christian must adhere to, that the believer in the world that we live in today must grab a hold of, that must gravitate toward, must copy, if you will, must live within this strength in order to stand and stand bold for the Holy Scriptures. Standing upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and not backing down. Beloved, we must go well in standing upon the truth of the Word of God. Number one, for the sake of souls. Paul said in Romans 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." Beloved, we must go well in standing upon the truth for the sake of the Holy Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and have it on the breastplate of righteousness." You know, we read Ephesians 6. And we get into the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we get into the mix of those things. But so often, many times, we have a tendency, just in human nature in reading, that we bypass the first few statements. Have you ever noticed when we do sword drills at the house, so after a Wednesday evening Bible study, of course, you know, online, we will do sword drills with my family, and I'll call out about five or six verses to see who will win, and to get to those sword drills, to get to that Bible verse first and read it perfectly. And sometimes they tend to cheat just a little bit, and if they get to the page, they'll say, "I'm there," and I'm like, oh, wait a second, you got to get to the verse. But you ever notice how often, if you say Ephesians 1:1, or Philippians 1:1, or Galatians 1:1, or Romans 1:1. Have you ever noticed how often that those verses, not only you can find them quickly, but they don't read them as clearly? We have a tendency in human nature to forget the first few words of a sentence and get into what's called the meat of the lesson. It's a byproduct of education. It's a byproduct of how we've learned. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I am saying this. Sometimes we need to step back. So when the subject of the whole armor of God that is mentioned in verse 14 of Ephesians 6, You notice the very first piece of that armor that's mentioned is having your loins girt about with truth. Our foundation, our solid stance, where we must stand in our life must be on truth. And that truth is the Word of God. Again, beloved, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. You're going to believe anything. You're going to believe anyone. You will become a prey in this life and not a lion with boldness and standing of strength. So, beloved, we must go well in standing upon the truth for the sake of sin. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." My friend, we have been set free from the yoke of bondage in this world. If we sin, we sin willfully. And I understand, guys, there are struggles that every single one of us have in our life, and every single one of us fall. Many of us will fall day by day, and week by week, and month by month, and I understand those things, but the only access that we must understand, that we must stand up for the truth and stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage. So, beloved, if we're going to stand, we need to stand up for truth today for the sake of souls. We need to stand up for truth for the sake of Scripture. We need to stand up upon truth for the sake of sin, beloved. Beloved, we must stand as a believer, as a Christian. The primary characteristic in order to go well is to stand. Peter and John understood this. They understood this clearly. They were commanded not to teach and preach in the name of Jesus Christ. Their response was this: "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Even in the midst of adversity, beloved, during adverse times, matter of fact, especially during adverse times, it is important that we stand. Beloved, change is inevitable in our life. Adversity is inevitable. But how we adapt to that adversity, how we adapt to that change, how we adapt to that current climate, how we adapt to the culture that may be trying to set us down is the true test of whether or not we're standing upon truth. First characteristics we see today is that we must stand. Must stand. Must be that lion. A lion which is strongest among the beasts and turneth not away. For in it, you know what? The Bible tells us to come boldly unto the throne of grace. We've talked about the priesthood of believers. This is a free nugget. This is something that's not part of even the message. But let me tell you this morning. As a priesthood of believers, we have access to the heavens. We have access to Lord God Almighty. We have access to pray anytime and every time where we want to. Whether we're driving down the street, we don't have to close our eyes and bow our heads. We can be in communion. Matter of fact, Paul says, pray without ceasing. We need to constantly be in a nature, in a mindset of prayer to the Holy Father in heaven. Amen. When we come to that throne, guys, the Bible says that we come to the throne with boldness. With boldness. You see, that's not arrogance, but that's confidence upon one simple truth. And that's what it is. The truth. You come boldly unto the throne of grace because you can stand upon the truth of the Word of God and the confidence in which He has given us. So the first characteristics we see and that we need to go well in this life is that to stand. Secondly, not only are we to stand to go well, but my friend, we are to be swift. We are to be swift. Look at verse 31, the very first part. He says, "A greyhound." A greyhound is an animal of speed, but they're an animal of swiftness as well. I mean, mankind will love verse 30. You know, I understand, you know, some of you may be listening to this. I was going to address this next week, and I'll save the meat of it till next week. But most of your commentaries and those that pervert the Scriptures will say that a greyhound means a war horse. If you got a book in your house or preachers, if you're out there and you're reading that, and they call this greyhound, if they change it from anything but a greyhound, take that book, and it'll be a real good tool to use. Maybe you got a table in the house that the legs are uneven. You can just use it on the floor to settle those table legs up. Because the Bible says what it means, and means what it says. It ain't no greyhound. The greyhound ain't no war horse. But mankind will love verse 30. As men, we like the idea of standing. Even though some people's idea of standing is quite skewed from what it's supposed to be, mankind love that idea of that lion. Men want to be viewed as the mighty lion, the king of the jungle, the one who turneth not away for any. My friend, standing Standing is not only a characteristic required in order to go well, but the swiftness of the greyhound is also. Now, here's what we need. The reason I wanted to do these two together is because some may come off of this message and feel as they need to be the mighty roaring lion going through town, making all the noise. They need to be that mighty person that is viewed to stand and with that boldness and all of that. But there's a mixture that is needed. Remember, all four of these tied together in order to go well, not just one. The word swift, my friend, is defined as happening quickly or promptly. The word is found in the Bibles 20 times within 19 verses. But I want you to notice, I had a load of verses on here and I peeled back and only put four. I want you to notice with me, just listen to them, write them down if you want to, but notice its association. Just listen to a few of where the word swift is associated with in Holy Scriptures. Job 9:26 says, "They are passed away as swift ships, as the eagle that hasteneth to the prey." Proverbs 6 verse 18 says, "An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief." Isaiah chapter 30 verse 16, but ye said, "No, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift." Romans 13 verse 15 says, "Their feet are swift to shed blood." You see, my friend, we find in the Holy Scriptures, in many of these verses, this word is associated with predators, attacks, speed, and the tongue. There's a few verses that I did not put on there, but they tie to that tongue, that speech. You see, James tells us in James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell." You see, beloved, there's something more when you want to talk about standing upon truth and standing upon the Word of God. There's something more associated to that if you want to go well today, because you've got to be swift as you stand. Our swiftness is not in the sword. It's not in hasty decisions and loud attacks by words which tear down others. But rather, we are to be swift in our reactions today. We are to be swift in our thoughts. We are to be swift in our mindset. As you stand upon truth, we are to weigh in the balance the cost of opening our mouth or remaining silent. You see, beloved, the greyhound is quick. The greyhound is smooth. He is an animal of speed. He's built for speed. But if you notice when a greyhound runs, much like a cheetah, he runs with swiftness, a gracefulness. Our swiftness is not to be with a sword. It's not to be with the open tongues of weapons. Our swiftness is not to be used as a fire in a world of iniquity. But our swiftness is to be graceful. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be," watch this, "swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." We've all heard that God has given us two ears, one mouth. We should listen twice as much as we speak. Beloved, we must understand that in our life today, if we want to go well in our Christian life, it is going to require us to stand. This is truth. This is unavoidable. If you can't stand, you can't be swift. It's going to require us to have a backbone. It's going to require us to be bold. Being bold is being confident. Not like a blowfish who inflates himself to make him appear bigger than he is, but more like the predator, like the lion, who doesn't have to tell everyone he's a lion. He simply is. He turneth away for no one or nothing. You see, my friend, what we say and even how we say it can make the difference in a person's life in eternity. That tongue, we must be swift to hear but slow to speak. slow to wrath. The swiftness is found in our reaction. The swiftness is found in our work. The swiftness is found in how we react to standing upon the truth. And that's determining whether we go well or not. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." We so often think that death and life are found within the physical things that we do. That if we just stand upon truth and we roar like a lion and if we fight off the enemies and we attack and debate and get into all kinds of realms of controversy and highlight this person's sin and highlight this church's failure and highlight this missionary's loss and this pastor's lack of integrity and all of those things, we tend to think that in our little circles today. But that's not going to enable you to go well. Highlighting the faults and the downtrodden is not going to help you go well. Being bold as the lion, to stand upon truth despite whoever may forsake you around you, who may forsake you in this world, that is the first step. The second step is to be swift. Swift in our thoughts. Predatorial, if you will, in plotting and planning and how our reaction is going to be that would best serve life to the person who's hearing it. So, beloved, I ask you this question today. How many people are you drawing to Christ, drawing to the church, as opposed to driving away? You may be listening to this saying, "Preacher, I stand on truth, and I'm the backbone of truth, and I'm not going to forsake the truth." Praise God. But part of that truth, my friend, is being swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So the first two characteristics that we see today as a child of God, as a Christian, to go well in the life that God has given us in this world, and it's a gift from heaven that God has given us in this world, is number one, to stand upon the truth. Number two, to be swift, namely swift to hear. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this time together today. And I pray those that hear this message, Father, that you'd bless their hearts and their souls. Lord, as a child of God would listen to this, I pray they would evaluate their life, their actions, their reactions, and everything that they do. Father, help each and every one of us. Lord, I pray namely myself, dear God, that when tempted, Father, to react in a way that is ungodly, Lord, that you would remind me of the words that were preached today. Father, not only are we to stand upon truth, but Father, let us be swift in our hearing. Let us be quick and prompt in our mindset, Father, lest we open our mouth and set a world ablaze. Father, we love you and we thank you. Bless now the closing of this service today in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I sure hope and pray that God has been good to you in the preaching and teaching of His